It is certainly great to see you this morning, church. I appreciate you for being here. I appreciate those who are. I know that there are some that aren't able to be here that are watching online, and I appreciate them as well. Do want to say that we do have a lot of folks that are out of town still through traveling for the summer and vacationing and such, but I am so thankful that all of you are able to be here today. We have a lot of special people in this crowd. We have a lot of special people at this church, and a lot that I am always encouraged to see, but there is a special young man who is here today for the very first time. My buddy, he doesn't know it yet, but he's going to be my buddy. Carson Sherman is here for the very first time, baby Carson. And so, Daddy Cody, if you'll bring him, or who's bringing him? I don't know. Yeah, man, y'all go get him all riled up now. Gigi had him, so let's see, Gigi, if he gets, he wants you back pretty soon. Look at there. Look at this, Sherman. The trifecta, right? Sweet, sweet. I'm very proud of Cody and Brittany and Noah and Riley and Gigi and Paul and everybody else and that has got him here. But he is a wonderful, I don't want to step on the wrong step there. Proud that you guys have him here. Thank you very much. And we are so glad that Carson's part of us as well. Glad that Brittany's doing well. And so, you know, it's a little delayed, but that's fine. It takes a lot of effort, right? It takes a lot of effort for mamas and daddies to get their babies dressed, to get them ready for Sunday school, to get them to worship. There are some elderly among us, or some more mature, as I should say, among us, that it takes a lot of effort for you to be able to get through all the aches and pains and ailments, and some probably have to get up very early to get things going. And I don't mean that to be said lightly. It takes a lot of effort to come for some to worship. You know, I was just so encouraged this past week. It's the first time I've been to on a trip like that since I was a youth minister. And so I appreciated Justin and Ashley trusting Michelle and myself enough to chaperone our teenagers on their trip. And when you go as a chaperone like that, you got to take yourself out of the picture. At least that's we as chaperones should take ourselves out of the picture because it's called the teen trip, you know. And so I tried to not focus on the rides, even though I had a good time on the rides. Don't get me wrong. And we asked all the time, what was your favorite and all. But I really tried to focus on them. And I tried to focus on, and again, you scatter a little bit, but some groups are able to stay with, you're at least in groups of three or what have you. But it was a great trip. And we have great teenagers. There was not one problem with one teenager on that entire trip. And I appreciated that. But that took great effort to put that together is where I'm going with it. And so for Justin and for Ashley, and the tireless hours that they worked, and Justin worked so tirelessly, he would go to bed at 2 a.m. and be the first one up and have things ready and have tickets, all that stuff. And some can look at it and say, hey, that's his job or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But you gotta understand there's a lot of effort, passion that goes into that. What am I talking about today? I'm talking about effort. I'm talking about elevating our effort. You see, for us to have a great teen trip, and for our teens, Justin didn't get to take the teenagers. He took some on a small trip, seniors last year that could go, but he didn't get to have a teen trip, so he wanted to put great effort into that. It takes great effort for these mamas to get these babies, and daddies as well, to get these babies and such to Sunday school and all. Why is it, why do we do that? Why do others do that? Because it's worth it. It's worth the effort. Sunday school's worth the effort. Worship is worth the effort. Getting our teens closer to God and closer to one another by, yes, having fun, but still, it was worth the effort. I think if you interviewed Justin, he'd say that today. There's so many other things that we could go on and on about and talk about the effort. But I want us to not just see the smaller pictures today, even though those are very big pictures. I want us to see the large picture. The big picture today. The big picture today is heaven. That's where we want to be, isn't that right? Brother Darren knows that's where we want to be. Everybody in this room that's a part of this church, that is a part of the church, wants to go to heaven. But there are some that are on the roll that won't give the effort to get there. And you see, that's very dangerous. Let's shift our attention now to the Bible. And let's talk about a man who gave great effort. And I want to talk about the Apostle Paul. We had our vacation Bible school this year on the Apostle Paul. Even before he was Paul, his name was changed and his life was changed. We know him as Saul of Tarsus, right? Even Saul of Tarsus gave great effort. He was very diligent in doing the will of the law. But when he saw the light, besides Jesus Christ, I can't think of anyone who gave greater effort in seeking and saving those who were lost. How about this? How about because Paul gave such great effort to save those who were lost that he got arrested for it? And when he got arrested for it, he wrote a book that we know that was read to us today, the book of Philippians. He wrote it from a prison cell to encourage Christians to keep giving effort. We know the words as press on. And so in Philippians chapter 3, as Seth read to us a moment ago, he says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected." I haven't arrived, he said. "But I give effort," right? "I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." Because of the effort of Jesus Christ, because Christ pressed on and He pressed through the trials, through the storms, through the tribulations, through the cross, through the grave, and got back seated at the right hand of God, I will press on. I'm going to press on because Jesus Christ has already laid hold of it for me. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." You know what that's called? The past. The things in the past that keep us from giving that great effort. That keep us from reaching our goals. He said, "I forget those things which are behind and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal." Why? "For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now, as great as that passage is, and as impactful as that passage is, and I could talk about the entire book of Philippians in that way, I really want to focus your mind on another epistle of Paul, and that's the book of Colossians. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, please. So what do we have to do? Here we are. It is now July, believe it or not, of 2021. We have had shutdowns and we've had pandemics and we've had a lot of other outside influences that have probably in our personal lives and our families that have tried to pull against us the last year or so, right? They've tried to pull against us. But this year, as an eldership, as a ministry staff, we said, we're not going to do that. We're going to elevate. So what are we trying to do today? We're trying to elevate our effort. That little bit extra. As a coach, you want that kid, we tell them all the time, lay it all on the line. Have no regrets. And so as a church, we gotta lay it all on the line. I don't know which quarter we're in, but let's pretend we're in the fourth quarter and it's fourth and one and we've gotta get that yard because we've gotta give that kind of effort. We've got to give that kind of effort to be able to reach the goal. Paul said, no matter what, I'm in prison, I'm not going to feel sorry for myself, I'm going to press on. I've been beaten, I'm not going to feel sorry for myself, I'm going to press on. I've been stoned, I'm going to press on. So what do we do? How do we do it? How do we put enough gas in our car to keep going? Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. I'm going to read it and then we'll go back and we'll pull sections out and we'll draw our points today. Colossians chapter 3, if then you were raised with Christ. Now listen to who he's talking to. He's talking to those who have been baptized into Jesus Christ. They put off the old man. They went in, down into the water, buried themselves with Christ through baptism, and they've been raised to walk in newness of life. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. That's our elevate theme, right? Set your mind on to elevate it to things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now, all 17 of those verses, Paul said this: that takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of willpower. It takes a lot of heart. It takes a lot of backbone. It takes a lot of guts. Whatever you want to call it, we've got to do it in order to obtain heaven. Heaven's worth it. Heaven's worth the effort. Think about your life right now. We, as Americans, as Jimmy reminded us of how blessed we are, we as Americans are typically going to do what we want to do. We're going to make sacrifice. We're going to do whatever it takes to do what we desire to do. Why? Because we think it's worth the effort. As Christians, we got to understand, heaven's far greater than anything we as Americans can fathom to do. We've got to understand that heaven's worth the effort. So what does it take to elevate our effort? What does it take to elevate our willingness to serve, our willingness to lead, our willingness to worship, our willingness to read and study, our willingness to pray? What does it take to do that? I believe Paul gives us three great points right here in this section of Scripture. The first one, He says you need to aim for the things above. If you go back and you look at verses 1 and 2, we're raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, as kids are kids, right? They are little. What do we put on the top shelf? We put on the top shelf the things we don't want the kids to have. Maybe those are special trinkets and little things that we have that we've collected over the years. We put them up high. Why? Because the kids can't reach them. Or maybe it's the good snacks, right? It's the good goodies in the pantry. We put them up on the top shelf so the children can't reach them. They figure out how to climb up there and get them, right? But at the end of the day, we put what's above that's most special and prized possessions of ours, we put those up. Folks, heaven is on that top shelf. Heaven is the most precious place, the most precious gift, the most precious desire there is. And we've got to reach for those things. We've got to climb for those things. We've got to aim for those things. And we've got to make effort for those things. You see, this morning in our Bible class, Jason White did a great job teaching us from Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount gives us a parable. And that parable is one that we're very familiar with. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The rains came down. The floods came up. The foolish man's house went flat. The wise man's house stood firm. We know it, right? We know how that parable goes. But here's something that was pointed out that we've got to all remind ourselves. I believe it was Brother Darren who said that we've got to be separate from the world. So guess what we need to do? We need to separate ourselves from the things that are holding us back. There are worldly things in this life that are causing Christians to not aim for the things above. We're going for the low-hanging fruit. Oh, well, yeah, worship's there. Yeah, I'll go. Maybe not every Sunday. But I'll go. I'll get my name checked off. You see, that's the low-hanging attitude. That's the attitude that doesn't take much effort. You know, when it comes to my prayer life, oh, I'll pray when I need something. When it's, you know, I feel guilty or whatever. Or maybe I'll read my Bible, you know, if something really just strikes my interest. Or I'll serve, you know, if it's going to benefit something to me ultimately. And we might not come out and say it that way, but sometimes our actions reflect our attitudes, right? That kind of attitude has all kinds of cracks in the foundation. We've got to have an attitude. We've got to have an effort type mentality that it is worth seeking, it is worth striving, it is worth reaching for the things above. I didn't make it up. God inspired Paul to write this a long time ago. You want to obtain heaven? Again, that should be all of our goal today. You want to obtain heaven? Then set your mind on things above. You cannot get to heaven by doing the bare minimum. Now listen, it's not hard to be a Christian. People make it out to be a lot harder than it really is. But it does take a renewing of the mind, a transformation of the thought process. You see, it comes to that when it came down to me going with Justin, going with these teenagers, I strive every day to be a very positive person. But I, like a lot of folks, get wrapped up, well, it's hot, you know, it's my legs hurt, this. I've made every effort in my mind to let the things that came out of my mouth be positive. That was my goal. I was going to make it where these kids had the best time, grew closer together, they understood the importance of Christians having fun and growing together. I'm not saying I did that perfectly, but beforehand I made that decision. Why? Because I knew it was going to take effort on my part. You see, you and I have to make a decision. And we've got to decide in our minds, in our heart of hearts, that you know what? Heaven's worth it, and I'm not going to let anything stand in my way. Oh, well, somebody hurt my feelings. Folks, I'd have left the church a long time ago. A long time ago. If I would have let that be the basis of me losing my soul. People have hurt my feelings. I mean, sometimes I think it's been just, you know, part of my cross to bear. People are going to hurt your feelings. By the way, don't let that be a crutch, though. If we're the ones who hurt people's feelings, let's stop doing it. But at the end of the day, you can't let other people dictate you reaching for the things above. Well, you know, we're busy. We better not be too busy to aim for the things above. What else? What else does it take? Again, right in the text here, we aim for the things above. We want to have the effort to press on and reach the goal. Secondly, we need to kill sin before it kills us. Listen, again, not my words. Listen to Paul, beginning in verse 3. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, that you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death. Again, I didn't make that up. He said, kill it. He said, put it to death. Put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Put them to death, he said. Kill it. Kill it. There are times in my life when things come up that I just wish they weren't there. Don't you? I mean, you have things that it just turns my stomach. There are certain things that have happened in social media that I just wish that moment I could just rip it all from my memory. I could rip it all out of my life and everything else. But even on a much smaller, sillier scale, you know, my house, man, when I first moved in, we don't have a huge yard, but we've got a pretty nice backyard. And in the back, it was all grown up. And I decided I didn't want to do that. So little by little, I'd have to go in there and chop down. And we have all these briars that grow up from the ground. I'm literally, you know, the thorny ground is where I'm living, apparently. But we have these briars, and they grew up all in the trees and everything, and so I have to go in there and cut it all. And then I take as pure Roundup, you know, go and buy it and just mix a little bit of water and a whole lot of poison and just spray it. You know why? Because I didn't want it to grow back. I wanted to kill it. That's what we got to do with sin. We can't let it hang around. We can't let it just fester there. We can't let it just be on the verge of us. We must kill it. I'll never forget one of the greatest scenes in a movie I've seen, most powerful scenes I've seen, is in the movie Fireproof, where Kirk Cameron, who's the actor in the story, he and his wife are struggling in their marriage and eventually they're going to fireproof their marriage. He's a firefighter, and so it all goes together. But he's addicted to pornography. And so, you know, this was dating ourselves a little bit now. Now it's devices, but he had a computer. And that computer is what he would go and it would be there. And again, you can do a lot of great things on a computer. You do a lot of great things. I do a lot of things on computers every day that I hope benefit the Lord and benefit the church. But he took his computer and he took a bat and he beat it. He destroyed it. And again, it was a very powerful scene because what he was saying is that pornography is not worth me losing my marriage or my soul. See, that's killing sin. If you just go through this list, and again, that's a long time ago. Fornication. That's sex outside of marriage. Right? That's still an issue in 2021? You better believe it is. We don't talk about this from the pulpit, maybe enough. But let me say to our teenagers here. You know, I say it to teenagers because adults, we ought to be married and we ought to be in the marriage bond. Now, I know that people break that all the time too, right? But teenagers, please do me this favor. Date people that love God. Date people that are married to Jesus Christ. You be someone who loves God and is married to Jesus Christ. Because we can kill fornication in our lives if we marry ourselves and our relationship to Jesus Christ. It doesn't have to be, well, everybody else is doing it and everybody's glorifying it and everybody's lifting it up. No, that's not the aiming for the high shelf. That's not aiming for the things above. We got to kill sin. He goes on to talk about uncleanness. Are there any unclean things around us today? You better believe it. What if these eyes, be careful little eyes what you see, right? We sing that as a child song. What we need to be singing as adults. What if these eyes, what if my eyes and your eyes are causing me to look at things I shouldn't, things that are unclean? Guess what? You can't take it out of your memory. One time I was illustrating the dangers of pornography too. I've done it here when I was teaching and I've done it at other places. But I held up a magazine, a clean magazine, a Sports Illustrated magazine or something to that effect. And I would hold it up and I would check, you know, 5 seconds, just go around the room. And then I would put it away and I'd say, now tell me what you saw. And everybody could describe that magazine. It doesn't take but that long to burn it into our images. Burn that image into our brains. So if we've seen it, we've got to battle that. But we certainly don't want to put any more there. Kill uncleanness. Passion. Again, same type thing, right? It didn't just become a problem in 2021, did it? It's always been an issue. That's why Satan, unfortunately, is good at what he does. Evil desire. Covetousness, which is idolatry. How many people want what they can't have so much, and they covet it so much, they're willing to blast other people on social media, gossip about other people, stab other people in the back, hurt other people? That's covetousness. And it happens every single day. Then he goes on, if you look at verse 8, he says, put off these things, kill these things, anger. Oh yes, I agree, there is a time for righteous anger and such. But let's face it, Jesus Christ was in complete control when he got angry. There are a lot of people that we've got to put to death anger because we lose control. A lot of people get angry and they want to just blast out a lot of bad language and do a lot of bad things and everything else. He said, kill that. Put it to death. Wrath and malice goes to say blasphemy. Filthy language out of your mouth. You know, I believe probably you could look in the Greek here. And yes, we would know that as what we would consider profanity. But there's a lot of other filthy language that are not profane words. Running down others. Gossiping about others. Folks, these are things they were struggling with in the first century. Church. And there are things that are happening in 2021. Does it take effort to do that? Yes. But is it worth it in the end? Yes. Aim for the things above, he said. Kill sin before it kills us. And finally this morning, we need to perfect a, I put it in quotes, a put-on kind of life. Now, we don't want to be put-on people, right? We don't want to be someone who is fake. But there are certain things that we as Christians, if we want to be what God wants us to be, we've got to put it on. And it begins in verse 10. And have put on the new man. The first thing we've got to do is put off the old man, kill the old man, and put on the new man. I said this, I don't know, thousands of times now. Behind this wall is water. There's a baptistry. Somebody makes the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They've already heard the Word, right? They've already believed in Jesus Christ. They've already repented of their sins. So now they're on the step confession. They confess, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that with all my heart. Jesus said, if you confess me before others, I'll confess you before my Father. That's the step we do. Then we go and we change clothes. We immerse them. Right here, the old man behind this wall, we immerse them into that watery grave, we call it. We're putting to death the old man. We're killing sin. We're killing that life. We're aiming for the things above. And then guess what? They come up out of the water. You know what happens in here? It quits being about me. You know, a lot of times in life it's about me. I've never done this. I've never gotten to do this. It's all about me, me, me. What can the church do for me? What can others do for me? And I never deposit anything. I'm just always withdrawing. When I go down in the water and contact Jesus Christ, the meekest, most selfless person who's ever walked this earth, it better quit being about me. It can't be about me anymore. It's got to be about the new man who put on Jesus Christ. But that's not all he said put on. Look down at verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. There are a lot of people in this world need some mercy. We joked, Tom. Riley, you remember this game that we play? What's it called? Ah! I won. We play this little game, mercy, you know. I've done it with Jansen 1,000 times over the years. But we play this game, Mercy, right, Jansen? And I say, hey, what's the name of this game? And they usually say Mercy. Justin even fell for it too. I mean, so we got them all. But the object of the game is you're hurting their hands and they say Mercy. What do? You quit. You let go. Why? Because it was hurting. There are a lot of people in this life need mercy. I needed mercy. I still need mercy. Fortunately, from God, He gave me mercy. I should have deserved death. I should have deserved hell. But He gave me mercy. We need to do the same for others. We need to put that on. What the world needs now, yeah, love, we're going to get to that. But it needs mercy. Then He goes on to say, put on kindness. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, you want to see some unkind things? Go to Universal Studios, Islands of Adventure, SeaWorld, Disney World, where there are lots and lots and lots of people. Right off the bat, just to tell you a quick story, we get to our hotel room and it's been raining and Justin and I really don't know where to go. And I mean, we know where to go, but there's not really laid out instructions. And so we kind of park our buses. We get permission to park our buses at this spot. Well, Justin has been in line. Poor guy, he waited in line more than he did anything. He'd been in line to get our tickets at the hotel and all that. And this cop guy comes in. And he's a bicycle cop guy. And, you know, I mean, he's not a real big guy, but he had a big voice. And whose buses are these out here? And he's blah, 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 you know. And, I mean, I got a lot of people looking at me. I'm like, those are our buses. And of course, you know, I'm a lot bigger than this guy and all. But but when we got outside, I just decided I'm going to be kind. I really wanted to just say, man, that is uncalled for. But I explained to him, look, we didn't know. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry does a lot. He became such a nice person. He let Justin end up parking at a spot that he shouldn't have been able to let. He showed me where we were. But kindness goes a long way. It really does. I didn't want to be kind. I wanted to rip his little bicycle helmet off and say, let me tell you something, brother. Just being real. But I thought, let's be the example. Here's test number one, right? Kindness. Put it on. Humility. Meekness. Patience. Bearing with one another. And forgiving one another. You know, I am so thankful people have forgiven me. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. I'm so thankful that I've been able to go to somebody and say, man, I'm sorry. And they're like, don't think about it. It's all good. That's putting on forgiveness. But you know what? All that takes effort. The last of this, he said, above all, verse 14, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. When it's all said and done and you put it all together, all of them take effort. Aiming for things above, killing sin, putting on all these things we talked about. But it all boils down to this. There are things that are holding us back. There are things that are tugging at our belt loops or our shirts or whatever, holding us back. That's why Paul said it this way. Hey, I haven't reached perfection. But here's what I've done. I've forgotten the things in the past, and I've pressed on. Now, Paul said many times he was the chief of sinners. He didn't forget, per se, the things that had happened to him, but he didn't. He forgot them from a standpoint of, I'm not going to let them hold me back. Today, so as we get ready to close, and we get ready to talk about being baptized into Jesus Christ, or making a public confession if I need to, or asking for prayers of the church. All of those things take effort. And people don't do it because there's something holding them back. Today, if something's holding you back, I want to ask you to aim for that top shelf item. I want you to kill whatever's holding you back. And I want you to put on Jesus Christ today. Today, as we think about our lives, I want to remind you about the Titanic. The Titanic was an unsinkable ship. That's what they said. They didn't make the effort to have enough rescue boats, to have enough life preservers, to have enough of what they needed to save those in case that ship was going to sink. All it would have taken, this magnificent ship, maybe was a little more effort. But see, that ship went down. And so did a lot of people's lives. Today, it just takes a little bit of effort. And at the end of the day, there's the lifeline. I ask you, I urge you, if you need to put on Jesus Christ, or if you need to make things right before Jesus Christ, let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.